Good morning and welcome to today's First Group's pre-close trading update call. Today I'm pleased to present Sir Muir Lockhead, Nick Chevis and Rachel Borthwick. For the first part of this call, all participants will be in listen-only mode, and afterwards there will be a question and answer session. I'll now hand you over to Rachel Borthwick.
Hello everybody, thank you very much for joining our call this morning. And before I hand you over to Muir and Nick to take you through a short presentation, just can I remind you that we do have some slides available on our website to accompany this call. They're on the homepage if you haven't already found them, they should be very quick to run off. So without further ado, I'll hand you over to Muir.
Good morning, welcome to our pre-close conference call everyone. Overall, the results to the year end are a strong performance, and we expect to deliver results in line with our expectations. So again, no surprises. I wanted in part of the presentation here to highlight what I think are the unique qualities of our business, and then of course we'll get into the detail of how each division has performed. And to start that, I think I highlight that 50% of our revenues are contracted. It's a very stable and predictable business, and we've got an order book of about $11.5 billion. In particular, our school bus division in North America, which is as close as you can get to being immune from recession, and after 10 years has a strong track record of stability. And I think no matter what happens in the economy in the US, they'll still send their children to school. Another unique quality of our group is that the position we are in with our rail division, substantial revenue support is already in place and gives us protection, particularly for Great Western, where we've got 80% support, and for First Capital Connect, where we will have 80% support from the beginning of next month. And Nick will spend some time just taking you through how that works and why we believe it's such a unique feature. I also wanted to take you through the actions we've implemented at Greyhound, and to show you how we flexed our business model there to deliver year-on-year improvements in profitability. We've reduced mileage and we've maintained revenue per mile, which is a very important measure of the link between supply and demand. We've implemented a significant program of cost reduction that will deliver about £200 million of savings across our group, and that's split out roughly around £70 million in our rail division, £55 million in our bus division here in the UK, and £75 million in North America. That's equivalent to $112 million, and of that, $50 million will come from Greyhound. This includes overall across our group headcount reduction of about 3,500, and 50% of that will be delivered by early summer. So we're on the case. We've taken out a lot of jobs already, and that's showing through in the strength of our cash flows. We continue to generate strong cash. Nick will take you through the details in a minute. We're on course to achieve our targets of £100 million per annum in the next financial year, 09-10, and a further £100 million in 10-11. So I'll now hand over to Nick.
Thank you, Muir. Looking at rail then, UK rail. Firstly, let's talk about what differentiates us from the other top earning groups out there, and it's revenue support. As Muir said, we are receiving 80% revenue support from the DfT on First Great Western, and will receive support for FCC at the 80% level from next month. When looking at the sensitivity to revenue decline, taking into account the revenue support and profit share schemes, we estimate that a 1% further decline would impact EBIT by only £5 million. So approximately two-thirds washes through the various regimes. This significantly insulates our rail franchises from the economic impact on revenues. I would stress secondly that our rail business is still delivering revenue growth and is profitable. As anticipated, revenue growth has slowed. However, we are still expecting to be up 7.6% year-on-year, which is a good result, with passenger volumes also up 4.4% year-on-year. Despite the high fixed cost nature of rail, which as you know is 80-20 fixed to variable, we've done a lot of work on costs and we are implementing actions that will save £70 million. That's about 15% of the flexible cost base. This includes a headcount reduction of 660 jobs in total by March 2010, the bulk of which will be complete by June 09. It's no surprise that there is evidence of down trading on First Great Western as people switch out of first class to cheaper ticket alternatives. However, at FCC, season tickets continue to grow, up 6% in value terms. So in summary, we are still achieving revenue and passenger growth, we are driving out costs, and we are benefiting from substantial revenue support. Looking at UK Bus, we're very pleased with the performance. It really demonstrates the strength of the business. We are still seeing strong revenue growth and expect to be up 7.3% for the year, with passenger volumes up approximately 2%. The revenues in London are insulated and we are managing costs closely and will absorb the fuel increase in 09-10. Outside London, it's a flexible business. We can closely match services to demand in a pretty short time if we need to. We've done a lot of work on costs and are reducing headcount, 1,100 in total by March 10, and aiming to complete 50% by June 09, really ensuring we are lean and efficient in all operations. We will continue to drive more cost actions and ensure that revenue per mile remains robust. As I said, we are very pleased with the UK Bus performance. The cost actions we are taking will ensure we continue to be in a strong position going forward.
Okay, thanks, Nick. Now, just back to North America. I started off by saying that the contracted business in North America is a very defensive business, no dependence on passenger revenues. And in fact, North America school bus and transit represents about $610 million of our EBITDA, which is over 80% of North America earnings. This business is very resilient with a strong track record over 10 years, despite recession, as I said at the beginning, the Americans send their children to school in greater numbers. We have a growing order book of $11.5 billion with clear visibility of revenues even in these challenging times. School bus bid season is going well. It's still ongoing. It's we're in the middle of the process, as you will recall. We've got strong contract retention at around 90%, which is good news. And we'll be able to update you at the year end when we meet again in May. But we're having a good season, and although conversions are building up, it's a relatively slow process to convert them into real contracts. But nevertheless, it's a very good sign. Transit has done particularly well in this period. We've got $44 million of extra new business, particularly in paratransit and shuttles. And delivering the cost reduction against the business, including a headcount of over 400 by March 2010, of which half of those will have left the company by June 09. So there's a real focus there on being able to deliver more and more of a reduced and efficient cost base. That's in addition, I should add, to the integration of the Laidlaw plan that you're very, very familiar with. And now to Greyhound, I wanted to bring you up to date on the management actions we have implemented to ensure that Greyhound's profitability is maintained in line with our expectations. The first point to make, I think, on Greyhound is that it will deliver year-on-year profit growth and cash generation, and we expect it to deliver a margin of around 8% in this year. And just by way of context, Greyhound is less than 10% of group EBIT. As we've said in the past, it is sensitive to economic trends. However, it has a highly flexible business model, and we can very quickly take action to mitigate the economic impact on revenues. Variable costs in this business are around 60%. And year on year, we've taken out, we estimate, 7% of the mileage in the US where we have complete flexibility to do so. And we can do that within a matter of days of seeing a change in trend. In Canada, it takes slightly longer, and we've achieved a 5% reduction there. And that's because we have to get approvals, which creates a slight lag effect. Although we expect revenues will be down by around 10%, we have maintained revenue per mile throughout the year, and a significant cost reduction program has been implemented, with headcounts reduced by 1,100 jobs by June of this year. A substantial amount of that has already been achieved, and we're budgeting in 9-10 for a similar level of profit to the year in which we're reporting. Nick and I have spent time in Dallas with the management team, and I'm really impressed with the speed by which they've reacted to take cost out to protect profits. The speed at which Greyhound revenue was impacted by the worse than expected economic position in the US took, I think, us all a little bit by surprise, but I'm confident we now have firm control of costs, and we are driving through management actions that will ensure profitability is maintained. Alongside that, we've now got a monitoring process for Greyhound and our other businesses that will allow us to take action to maintain revenue per mile as we see necessary. So I'm confident we're building a strong platform for longer-term profitable growth. The effects will be a leaner and stronger business when the economy emerges from the present decline. Nick.
Just to be clear, that number you gave, Mo, was quarter four, wasn't it?
10%.
Sorry. Not the year.
Yes.
Yep.
Sorry, 10% in quarter four, yeah.
Yep.
Thank you, Moya. The debt maturity profile remains strong, following on from the refinancing activities that we've taken throughout the year. The average debt life is now 4.8 years. We continue to generate strong cash flows and are on course to deliver our target of 100 million per annum cash generation for 9-10 and 10-11. This net cash generation will continue to be applied to reduce net debt. As a result of the management actions we have implemented, cash guidance for this year is in the 50 to 60 million pound range. Non-recurring costs will increase as a result of the cost reduction program. We estimate 30 million pounds this year and 20 million pounds next year. In addition, we expect a charge of approximately 19 million pounds relating to part of our fuel hedge, which won't qualify for hedge accounting. We have higher fuel costs to absorb in 9-10, but these will recover in 10-11. We recently announced a technical amendment to our bank facilities. This will ensure consistency for all currency translation purposes for covenant testing, a prudent action. And you won't be surprised to hear me say that we are well within our banking covenants. Our dollar debt and subsequent interest payments are supported by strong dollar cash flows from our US businesses of $400 to $500 million. And as you are aware, when combined with the dollar-denominated fuel purchases for the UK businesses, overall dollar costs and earnings are broadly matched at the EPS level.
Thanks, Nick. So really, in drawing the presentation to an end, I'd like to summarise by saying we're very pleased with the strong performance from all businesses despite the economic environment in which we're all performing. When we met in November at our results, I talked about our diverse portfolio, and I believe we have demonstrated to you exactly what we mean by balance and by resilience. We continue to closely watch and monitor our network of services for any change in trends, and I'm pleased with the quick response to ensure we match demand. Revenue per mile is a key driver of across our businesses. The actions we have taken will ensure we are lean and in a very strong position when the economy emerges from decline. Thanks to everyone for being on the line. We will now hand back to the operator for questions. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin our question and answer session. If you have a question, please press 01 on your telephone keypad now. You will enter a queue, and after you are announced, you may ask your question. If you find your question has been answered before it is your turn to speak, you may press 02 on your telephone keypad to cancel. So that's 01 to ask a question, or 02 to cancel. And our first question comes from Menno Sanderis of Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good morning, everybody. Just two questions, if I may. Of the £200 million savings, because it will be partly implemented during the new financial year, how much of those savings will actually fall in the year to March 2010, and how much will be then carried over to March 2011?
We anticipate £200 million will be the effect in 9-10, and a lot of it we've done in the last few months, and we intend to do in the few months of next year. So there'll be a small overhang into 10-11, probably £10 or £20 million.
Okay, so £10 or £20 million, fine. Great. And just drilling in a little bit further on Greyhound, the 7% reduction in mileage, is that for the full year, or is that what has been implemented in Q4?
The year we're reporting. We've taken more miles out since the turn of the year.
Yeah, exactly. So that's why the statement is 10% down in revenues in the fourth quarter, but revenue per mile flat,
and
because the fourth
revenue,
quarter...
we've maintained... Well, what we're doing, particularly in the U.S., is we're able very quickly, because we've got a lot of these extra vehicles on standby, it's very easy for us just not to run them. And that's what the team are doing. So, it's higher than 7% in this period.
Okay. And in terms of the trends, you said you spent a lot of time there, so you must have analyzed it to death. If you look at the airline side, January and February were, absolutely horrendous. Did things deteriorate further at Greyhound in the last 2 months? Or is the run rate, the exit run rate, worse than minus 10?
No, that is the run rate. I tell you what we think is impacted at some of that, and it's very difficult to tell. But in the Northeast, they've got some horrendous weather, and we think that there is an underlying trend loss, and we can see that. But it's also been impacted. The Northeast was off further than we'd expected it to be, and we'll see in this next few weeks whether it recovers. And particularly leading up to Easter. We saw a change because Easter was at a different time last year, and so we've had to try and take that out. But I think we've got a good handle on it, and I think 10% is about the right number.
Okay. And then finally, on the credit rating, Moore, you said last year that it's very important to have your credit rating for government contracts, but obviously very few of your competitors have this credit rating because very few have listed bonds, and the smaller ones definitely don't. But do you still feel the same about the credit rating and needing to have an investment grade?
Yeah, I mean, I think the investment grade very much helps us. We're very much an investment grade business, and that's the discussions that we have with the ratings agency. I think in terms of it's not essential for you to be out there for businesses. Lots of other, National Express out there, they bid without it. And the main competition is mum and pops, and, of course, their covenant
It wouldn't. I think it's a reputational thing. It doesn't mean we'd lose any contract.
Exactly. So there's no automatic. Nobody would step away automatically.
Nothing in the contract that means we'd lose anything.
No,
just think it's an added string to our bow.
Okay. Very clear. Thank you.
Our next question comes from Damian Brewer of JP Morgan. Please go ahead.
Yes, good morning, everybody. Just a few questions. First off, can you just confirm there's no comment on the dividend, so can we assume that for the time being there's no change in the dividend policy?
Yeah, you can.
Okay, that one's easy. Secondly, on the CapEx, a lot about OpEx savings. Are you looking again at the CapEx base? Is there any change there, or do you feel that's already optimized? And as a follow-on from that, you mentioned that the financing is secure until 2012. Is there still anything that needs to be done between now and 2012, or are you fully secure until then? And then very finally on the debt, Can you remind us of a rule of thumb in terms of 1 cent movement has an impact on debt? I think historically it was about 1 cent moves net debt by about 17 million sterling, so even the recent FX change looks like it have a very minor effect on debt and debt EBITDA, even if one calculated it at spot. Is that still the case?
Okay, shall I take those? CapEx, I think in our guidance for next year we will be trimming CapEx in order to ensure that we continue to generate our £100 million. So I think CapEx for next year probably around about the sort of 360, 370 sort of level. So, and that's part of the strength of our business, that we can flex the growth CapEx.
And is most of the reduction there coming in school bus or bus, or what is the trimming?
It's across the piece. Obviously, rail drops down to its more maintenance capex level, where you have about 30 to 40 million, which is the heavy maintenance and the run out of the franchise commitments. And the rest is broadly spread across all the other businesses. Obviously, one of the things that we have done, we've trimmed back the Greyhound capex in that. So,
well, and UK Bus capex will be down. We're going to take the vehicles out there, so we won't need to renew them. I think we're getting closer to maintenance capex and the surplus cash we can use to take the debt down, and I think that's, we've always expected that, Damien, so I don't think that is any different. It's just with strong cash we'll use, and right now the best place to use it is to take the debt down.
Yeah. In terms of the debt, I think the position remains broadly where we were before. We've got about, depends on what currency you take, about £320-350 million pounds worth to do by the end of 2011. We've already done about £100 million of finance leases since we last spoke to you, which will come off that. So that coupled with the cash generation, I think we're confident going forward that we'll do some more finance leases and maybe another bilateral we're in discussions with as well. So I'm confident that we'll clear that through. In terms of the debt sensitivity, I mean, our dollar-denominated debt is about 2.9 million or so. So, 10 cents is what measures about 140 million on that.
Okay, just to be clear, 2.9 billion dollars or sterling of dollar debt?
Dollars.
Okay, and can I add one sneaky sort of add-on if I can? Just, I mean, obviously I hear what you're saying about the cost reductions in UK bus and trimming back CapEx, mindful of what happened in the early part of this decade. As you're going through that process, what are you doing to make sure that the sort of the operated route mileage and the quality of what you're putting into the UK bus doesn't deteriorate on the back of this?
Yeah, well, the fleet will be better than half-life. And secondly, I mentioned to you when we talked about Greyhound about revenue per mile, there's a full analysis on in each company as to where anything has changed and whether we need to. The best thing about this is because we've got a lot of urban routes, you know, we take a 10-minute frequency to 12. It takes out a considerable amount of cost but protects the revenue that we have. And it's just been really getting down to things that we're doing, reducing overheads. Some people would argue we should have done it anyway, Damien, but at the moment we're just getting on with it.
Okay, great. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Our next question comes from Douglas McNeil of Blue Ore Securities. Please go ahead.
Good morning. I wonder if I could ask two or three questions on the rail side in the UK. thinking firstly about the revenue support at First Capital Connect. When you say that's eligible for 80% revenue support, is the implication that revenue there is running below 94% of the originally projected level? Is that the right way to understand
it? Yeah, that would be the correct way to look at it, yeah.
Yeah. and on Great Western, are you in a position to say how much you have received in revenue support in the current year?
Yeah, well, if you remember, the revenue support this year, we negotiated early revenue support this year, so it's a looser band than what we had last time. But we'll receive about £50 million this year.
Okay, and then it reverts to the more conventional structure as of next year. Yeah. One other thing, am I correct to infer from the numbers that volume growth in the rail division in Q4 was more or less zero. Is that the right way to understand it?
In Q4 for rail was a little over 1%.
Okay.
And we had a revenue growth of about 4.7%.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Our next question comes from Dominic Edwards of UBS. Please go ahead.
Hi there. Just had a couple of questions. Firstly, on ScotRail, because I know you talked about the other two, which are you have in the revenue support. Can you just say how that's trading in terms of the 10% bands? And then secondly, I suppose, just to sort of find out in UK bus, is there much sort of variation in the performance between London and ex-London? Because I know, obviously, a few years ago you had a few issues in London. How is trading continuing there? Thanks so much.
Okay, ScotRail. Well, ScotRail's trading above the target revenue. I think it's around about 104% of the target revenue at the moment. So I think that means we'd have to fall into revenue support there would be about, move about 14 million. But that's taken into account when I talked about the overall sensitivity of 1% equating to 5% across the whole rail division.
Okay, so that's included within there, then?
That's included within there, yeah. I've taken that 1% is 5 million would be the equivalent of losing a percent across the whole of our rail division, all of our rail passenger income.
Okay, thanks a lot.
In terms of London, could you just clarify what your question was on London?
Yeah, I was just wondering how trading's going there, because obviously I know in the past there have been some operational issues there, and, you know, just looking at the league tables, you know, there has been maybe things have, you know, you had a lot of improvement there sort of 18 months ago, and that seems to sort of have drifted a little bit now. Can you just say how you're seeing things there?
Yeah.
Well, we're winning, the best test, I suppose, is we're winning contracts, and we were awarded a contract just last week, which was reassuring for us that Transport see us as a good operator again. Getting the margins, the issue in London is getting the pass through for fuel and getting recovery of fuel with the price that we've currently got. But I think we can do it. We just have to, as we've said many times, manage cost. The revenue looks after itself. Outside of London, it's a combination of both. Already said, we can take mileage out, we can price, but I think it's going to be very sensitive this year to pricing, so our focus is on making sure the cost base comes down.
Yeah, I think, as Moya said, I mean, the fuel, we're going to take a fuel bump next year in terms of 9-10, but that very much will reverse in 10-11.
Okay, yeah, sure, but I mean, it sounds as though we shouldn't be assuming too much on price for the next sort of 6 to 12 months or so. Then,
pricing activity in
ex-London. I mean, have there been any price increases put through recently in any of the businesses?
Yeah, well, there's always price increase. Yeah, there's price increases. You know, we tender London on a net cost basis. So, you know, as wages go up. Gross cost basis. So when wages go up, obviously, you know, gross costs go up.
Sure.
But there's also there's an indice that inflates your existing contracts, and that's continued to, you know, on anniversaries, give inflationary growth.
Sure, but I meant outside of London, have any fares gone up recently, though? I haven't seen anything announced particularly. Being cautious there.
No, he's talking outside of London, prices went up. If you remember, when we met in November, we said we'd priced during the year to cover the high hedge fuel that we had, and we've done that, and that's given us the benefit of going in from April to cover that higher fuel cost in London. In London, our margin is better this year. It's you remember we were, I think, 3 or 4% last year. This year it's around 5.5%.
Yeah.
Now I think it can be much better than that, but for the reasons you've said, you know, we've had to work on operating performance, and now we'll turn our attention to getting costs down.
Okay, that's great. Thanks so much.
Thanks for that.
Our next question comes from Arnaud Giblat of Bank of America Merrill Lynch. Please go ahead.
Good morning. Just a question for me. Could you tell us where you're trading relative to your covenants?
Yeah, we're in a good position in terms of our you know, our bank covenants. And obviously that's helped by the amendment that we talked about earlier. So in terms of our, you know, our banking covenants, I mean, I'd estimate that this year we close with a, because we've got two banking covenants, a net debt to EBITDA covenant and a fixed charge cover ratio. The fixed charge cover ratio, we're way inside. The net debt to EBITDA, I'd estimate we'd be around about 2.9 times at the end of this year against the maximum permitted of 4 times. And for next year, March 09-10, I'd estimate we'd be around about 2.8 times, and that would be against the maximum permitted of 3.5.
Thank you.
Are there any further questions? A reminder again, if you wish to ask a question, please press 01 on your telephone keypads now. And we have no further questions. Would you like to make your closing comments?
Well, just thanks for being on the line. There were recorded 44 lines, so thanks very much for your attention. And if there's anything else you need, please come back to Rachel or Nick or myself at any time. So thanks again.
Thank you.
This concludes our call. Thank you for attending.